Chapter 20, Monday. The next morning, Melissa saw Nala come to her stall. She hadn't left the stall all weekend. She had already received her breakfast container and eaten. As Nala unlocked her stall, Melissa assumed the submissive position, lying flat on the ground, with her hands turned up beside her head and her legs slightly spread.
"Good morning, Melissa,"
Nala said.
"Good morning, Mom,"
Melissa responded from the cement floor, her gaze fixed on Nala's shoes.
"How are you?"
"I'm fine, Mom,"
Melissa replied. She was anything but fine. She had been locked in her stall for the entire weekend. Not once had she been allowed out. The men who had cared for her had barely spoken a word to her. Even prisoners in solitary confinement were let out of their cells once a day. But Nala had deposited her into this cage Friday afternoon, and she had been locked in here the entire weekend until now. Melissa knew Nala would take her to the White Hall, where she would endure more unspeakable procedures. However, before reaching there, there was the outdoor area between the barn and the main health office building. She would breathe fresh air and feel the sun on her skin for the first time since Friday. Nala would likely chain her to the post, and while being hosed down, she would savor the outdoors as much as possible. Nala approached Melissa's feet and fastened ankle chains on her. Melissa knew she was never allowed out of her cage unchained.
"Get up,"
she ordered Melissa. Melissa stood up, and Nala attached a leash to her. After the inventory clerk scanned her chip from his desk, they left the barn. Melissa took a deep breath, savoring the fresh air, which was a sharp contrast to the barn's animal odors. The sun's warmth on her naked skin felt comforting. Nala guided her to the cleaning area and fastened her leash to the chaining post. Nala hosed Melissa down thoroughly, leading her through the standard positions, facing forward with legs apart and hands clasped behind her head, then spreading her labia for Nala to spray in between, followed by turning to face away, standing upright for her back to be cleaned, then bending over to spread her buttocks. After this, Nala provided Melissa with a shampoo bottle from a nearby shelf to apply soap. Once lathered, she was rinsed again, with Nala directing her through the poses once more to wash away the soap. They then headed to the main building of the health office. The cleanliness was a refreshing contrast to the soap-free hose downs she had experienced over the weekend. Melissa looked forward to when Arbeck would free her, and she could clean herself in private, and being hosed off like this would be unimaginable once again. There, Nala chained Melissa to a workbench and gave her a towel to dry off.
"Killian will take care of you when he arrives later,"
Nala informed her, and placed the restraining device on the workbench for Killian to use when he arrived later. Then she left. Melissa dried herself from the earlier wash, then sat chained to the table, waiting. She eyed the restraining device with a sense of dread, fully aware of what awaited her once she was locked into it. Melissa waited on the table, but no one came. Killian was probably late, nothing to be surprised about. She thought how if Killian had been on time, she could probably be halfway through the torturous procedure by now. Half an hour later, Nala returned.
"Change of plans,"
she announced, holding transport chains.
"Lay on your back."
Melissa did as she was told and asked,
"What has changed?"
"It looks like you'll be shipped off,"
Nala explained as she prepared the travel restraints.
"What?"
Melissa brought her wrists together over her abdomen for cuffing.
"The vet just told me you'll be sent to an outstation of the health office,"
Nala said, while snapping the cuffs around her wrists. She then moved to cuff Melissa's ankles. The central chain was so short that it pulled Melissa's hands down to her pubic area.
"But why?"
Melissa was alarmed. She loathed being at the health office, but at least it was a familiar hell. She knew the place and her captors. The idea of being transported to an unknown outstation was disorienting. This sudden change was deeply unsettling, and as always, she was the last to know, discovering her fate only as it unfolded.
The vet said it would be cheaper to hold you there for the rest of your quarantine period.
Nala explained while locking her ankles into the travel restraints. Melissa was now fully restrained, her wrists and ankles cuffed and connected by a tight central chain. This setup prevented her from lifting her hands above her navel, and even that limited movement forced the ankle cuffs to slide up her legs as far as they could go.
And whatever remaining tests are needed can be done there too.
Nala unlocked the hobble chain she had been already wearing, so only the travel restraints remained. She went back to check Melissa's cuffs. She pushed the cuffs against Melissa's hands to see if she could slip the cuffs and was satisfied that they were tight enough so Melissa would not be able to escape the travel restraints.
Get up,
Nala instructed. Nala helped Melissa sit up on the workbench and unlocked the chain from the headboard. Then she helped Melissa get down from the workbench and took the chain to use it as a leash.
Come, let's go,
Nala said, and they left the white hall. The tight hobble chain of the travel restraints forced Melissa to take half steps, requiring Nala to slow her pace so Melissa could keep up. As they passed by the bathroom, Nala stopped and directed Melissa into it.
Empty your bladder,
she instructed, following Melissa in and secured the leash around a support rail in front of the toilet with a carabiner after lifting the toilet lid. Melissa was relieved for the bathroom break, though she wished she wasn't in travel restraints for it. She sat on the toilet, and Nala stepped out to afford her some privacy. When Melissa finished, she realized she couldn't reach the toilet paper while seated due to her restraints, so she had to stand, turn around, and grab some to clean herself. She also struggled to reach the flush lever, which required her to move awkwardly to the side of the toilet. But her leash didn't allow her to reach it. It wasn't locked to the rail, only secured by a carabiner. But she knew tampering with it would lead to trouble, so she just closed the toilet lid. She was unable to wash her hands because of her restraints. She called for Nala. When Nala returned, Melissa explained her predicament, and Nala flushed the toilet for her. Nala escorted Melissa back to the room where she had first woken up 4 days prior upon arriving at the health office. It was filled with rows of cages. Nala directed Melissa towards an empty one, identical to the cage she had been brought here in. Nala detached the leash from Melissa's collar.
It was nice to meet you, Melissa,
Nala said, and gave her a hug. Melissa, restricted by her travel restraints, could only lean into the embrace.
Thanks for the Grabesian food and for standing up for me to Killian,
Melissa replied.
Of course,
Nala said, and smiled.
I hope your owner frees you like you said.
Melissa nodded in acknowledgement. Nala then opened the cage door, and Melissa crawled inside. She would depart from the health office in the same way she had arrived, chained, naked, and caged. Nala shut the door and locked it. She reached through the bars to stroke Melissa's hair one final time.
Goodbye,
she said before walking away. Melissa sat cross-legged with one leg up and leaned against the bars of the cage and waited. Every now and then, nurses came in to pick up animals from one of the other cages and took them out for processing. Melissa spent what felt like hours waiting in the cage, with no way to gauge the passage of time. She changed positions several times, from sitting to kneeling with her head down, but mostly she lay on her back with her legs bent, her feet pressed against the cage bars. She longed for her stall where she had at least some freedom to move. Instead, she was chained and confined to this cramped space, waiting to be transported. The door finally opened and someone entered with a dolly. Melissa sat up, peering through the bars.
Carol?
Hey, Melissa.
Carol chuckled upon seeing her.
Nice to see you again.
He approached her cage, pushing his dolly, which carried two cages with animals.
Time to go, huh?
He said.
I guess,
Melissa replied, her feelings mixed. She had hated her time at the health office, but leaving didn't bring relief, only uncertainty about what might await her at her new destination, possibly something even worse. Carl unloaded the animals from the dolly near her.
I picked these up from the port early this morning,
Carl explained. Then he returned for her.
Where are you taking me this time?
To Zawadi,
Carol answered. Melissa had never heard of Zawadi. He then maneuvered her cage onto his dolly and wheeled her out of the health office through the delivery entrance into a parking lot. The sun's warmth touched her skin through the cage bars. The dolly's wheels made a loud, rumbling sound on the stone tiles. Carl pushed her towards his van, parked just a few meters away. He opened the cargo hold, lowered the ramp, and wheeled the dolly up it, then carefully placed Melissa's cage inside, securing it to the side of the van. He shut the door to the cargo hold, got into the driver's cab, and the van's engine rumbled to life, and they left the premises of the health office.